We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you've given us. And pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to it as only you can do. And that our faith in our Savior and our love for Him may be strengthened as we study it. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanksgiving text for this morning is Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to be looking at verses 8 and 9, which we read this way. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we set aside one day a year to give special thanks to God in songs of thanksgiving and remembrances of all the good things that have come our way during the past year. And a lot of times this zeroes in on physical blessings, not completely, but a lot of times it is. And the seed time and harvest and the fact that God has once again kept his promise that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. There are times when God's children are put in situations where it's not so easy to give thanks because things have not gone the way we would like to have had them go. And we're kind of going to concentrate on these kinds of people this morning. The ones who are carrying heavy crosses and find it more difficult to sing praise to God, physically speaking, than others, and that they themselves have had it at other times. And the Exhibit A this morning, the one we're going to be looking at in some detail, of one of these people that would have a very, very difficult time giving thanks at this time in his life. We're going to look at Jacob and zeroing in on his words, all these things are against me. Those of you who are acquainted with what Scripture tells us about Jacob knows that this man had a rough life. And much of it was deserved. But it was all given to him by the hand of God, and it wasn't always that evident to him. For one thing, his brother Esau hated him and wanted to kill him. So there was strife in the family. His father loved Esau more than he did Jacob, but mother loved Jacob. There's another division in the family. The contention between Esau and Jacob was so great that finally Jacob had to flee for his life. He had to leave his mother, whom he loved, and he moved away to a far country. The plan was that he was going to move up there until his brother's anger cooled, and then he would be back home with mother again. Well, evidently, the brother's anger never cooled, and the way things worked out, Jacob never saw his mother alive again. He lived with Laban, fell in love with one of Laban's daughters, Rachel, and agreed with Laban to work with her for him for 7 years for the right to marry Rachel. Well, the 7 years came and went, but instead of giving Rachel to Jacob to marry, Laban gave him Leah. And he didn't like Leah. So now there's another problem for him. Then they made another agreement that Jacob would serve Laban 7 more years, and then he would get Rachel also. So that happened. So now you've got 14 years that he's been working for Laban, basically for nothing, except for the privilege of marrying his two daughters. Well, when he was married to the two didn't get along. You can figure that out easily enough. And they each had a handmaid, and there was bickering among them too. So there was strife during this whole time. Jacob's life was a difficult one. Now, Jacob's favorite son was Joseph, and he was one of the reasons, and probably the main reason he was the favorite, is because he was Rachel's son. And so he was a half-brother to most of his other brothers, except for Benjamin, who was born later on, also from Rachel. So there was favoritism showed all over the place. And naturally, Joseph, being the favorite of Jacob, was hated by his half-brothers. So there was strife and contention there all the while he was growing up. He went out to check on his brothers one time to see how they were doing with the flock. They grabbed him and threw him into a pit, stripped him of his precious coat of many colors that his father had given him, and threw him into this pit. And then that got the bright idea, you know, we can make some money out of this. So they took him out of the pit and sold him into slavery, and he was taken down into Egypt. So now they were rid of him. He was gone. Would never see him again. Well, that was the plan. So then they took his coat of many colors, dipped it in a blood of an animal, and brought it back home to their father. And they showed him the coat and said, do you know whose coat this would be? Well, naturally he did. It's Joseph's coat. So Jacob figured that some wild animal had killed Joseph, and that Joseph was dead. And that was a heavy cross he had to carry for years and years and years. Many hard, bitter years later, there was a famine in the land, so now the country was going down. And Jacob didn't have any food to eat. He had to send his sons into Egypt to buy food. So they came down to buy corn to escape from the famine. And they made a couple trips down there, and as things played themselves out, Joseph knew who they were, but they didn't know who Joseph was, because by this time, Joseph was number two man under Pharaoh. And you know that Pharaoh had had those dreams about that he couldn't interpret, and Joseph interpreted them for him. There was going to be years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. So you'd better store up while the getting's good. So they did. So the Egyptians had corn and none of the other countries did. So finally, Joseph told the people, his brothers, they didn't know who he was. He said, next time you come back, is your brother Benjamin, younger brother, is he alive? Yeah, he's alive. Okay, bring him back. And if you don't bring him back, you don't buy any corn. I won't sell it to you. So they went back to Jacob. And finally, when they needed more corn, they said, we got to take Benjamin with us. Jacob said, nothing doing. It's not going to happen. I couldn't bear to lose him. Well, then they kept getting more and more hungry. And finally, okay, if it has to be that way, it has to be that way. And that's when he spoke those lines, all these things are against me. Everything's going wrong. I don't have a friend in the world. Everything's going against me. And so, which child of God hasn't felt that way at one time or another in his or her life? There are times when we have trials that we have to bear, crosses that we have to carry, and it's hard going. And it just seems like one thing after another goes wrong. Bing, 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 it doesn't stop. And finally, all these things are against me. What do you feel? And how easy is it then to sit down and sing a hymn of praise to God? It's pretty tough going at times like that. I look at the little village of Coon Valley, And there are many, many people here. Well, there are not many, many people because there aren't many people here. I think we have about, 700 people, something like that. But a lot of the people of Coon Valley are having a hard time on Thanksgiving Day this year. Why? There are reasons for this. Coon Valley is a beautiful little place. Well, 3 years ago, we had a 100-year flood. And it was devastating. It was really devastating. And so we got that out of the way. And I thought, well, we're good for another 100 years at least. But the next year, we had another 100-year flood. Two in a row. And then finally, the next year, we had a third one. Three 100-year floods in a row. And the village was devastated. There were some people that just finally had to move away. They couldn't take it anymore. And they didn't want to leave, they want to live here anymore. When the creek rose and the floods came, they wanted to leave, and they had to leave. Their homes, some of them had their homes completely destroyed. Totally wiped out. Others had a lot of damage done that cost a lot of money to try to fix up. Some of them are still working at it. But they loved the place enough they didn't want to move out. They're struggling to make a go of it. And I've been hit 3 years in a row. The first of the three was the worst. And it was just terrible. The area farmers have had a really hard time the last couple of years. They haven't been out to harvest their crops. And I went out into one of the farmers' fields last year actually, to get some corn for the birds, because there was so much corn around. There was corn was still standing out in the field. They couldn't harvest it. And it was all full of dirt and gunk. It was totally wrecked, totally destroyed. The birds wouldn't have wanted to eat it. So these things are happening, one thing right after the other. The park, the beautiful park, is or used to be the crown jewel of the village. It was the thing that the village people were the most proud of. There was a beautiful, beautiful baseball diamond there. They had stuck a lot of money in it. One of the residents of Coon Valley played baseball in the major leagues for 10 or 12 years. I think 11 or 12. And the park was kind of in his honor. Scott Service was his name. Played catcher. And they had games there all summer. Westby High School would play their games there. And they'd have high school tournaments. At the end of the year, I think some were state tournaments. There was a semi-pro baseball team that was really good. They won the championships many, many years and had some people that had played in the minor leagues pretty high. Well, the baseball diamond is destroyed. It got wiped out. I haven't seen a game over there, and they play right across the highway from us. Haven't seen a game over there for 3 years. Haven't been able to play. Excuse me. Last year, they won the championship. But they played all their games on the road. Couldn't play at home. So that's gone. There was a gazebo there. I'm in the center of the park. A beautiful little thing, and it was used an awful lot during the summer and autumn for weddings. Hasn't been one wedding there for the last 3 years. Reason being, well, there's a lot of reasons, but one reason being is that the gazebo is not there anymore. It got washed away by the flood. I'm not sure where it is. Probably miles and miles and miles away. So there's no more weddings. A large shelter where they had picnics all the time, that was washed away too. That's gone. There was a building that kind of housed the trout festival that they started a couple years ago to keep going. That got washed away too. We don't know where that's at. They just washed it all away from the park down past Highway 1461, and who knows where it ended up. And there's mud all over the place. They just start to get it cleared up, and another flood comes. One thing after the other. And it's a total mess. The park used to have a little walkway going around the creek, and it went over the creek one way and one place and back over the other, and it was kind of like an oval, and it was a very, very popular walking place. You'd see people walking down there every night, usually taking the dogs or children and all that sort of thing. The last 2 or 3 years, there's been hardly anybody down there. My wife and I went down there. We went down there a couple times, and you could walk around it, but it was muddy and everything. Nobody wants to walk down there anymore. It's a total mess. For the last 3 years, I've only seen two people down there. Well, one was a family, a father with four children. He took his children down there, and they walked for a little while. And another time, there was another man that walked around and got all the way around like I did. But those are the only people I've seen down there for 2 or 3 years. It's just everything is totally wiped out. And now it's Thanksgiving Day. And it's not as easy to be thankful now as it was 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago when this beautiful park was there. It's been hard for a lot of people. Coming close to home, my own family. My wife and I, along with three of our children, have each lost a very, very precious pet that we just loved. And the pet is gone. Now, granted, it's not the same as losing a human being, but it still counts for something. And it puts a little bit of a different feeling on Thanksgiving. It just does. And yet we're still celebrating Thanksgiving Day. Well, why are we doing that? Well, we're doing it for a very good reason. And that is, as children of God, we still have a lot to be thankful for. And it all zeroes in on what we called a week or so ago the big game changer. And the big game changer is Jesus Christ rising from the dead. That's the big game changer. That changes everything. Now, it doesn't take away the crosses that we're carrying, but it gives a totally different meaning to these crosses. We can trace all the crosses that we have and that we're carrying right back to the hand of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that makes the big difference. And so the godly command that the Holy Spirit gives us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 is this: in everything, give thanks. And yes, we can have one special day of the year when we do that, but actually every day for us, for child of God, every day is Thanksgiving Day. It's all there. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, in order for that to be true, it sounds almost too good to be true, doesn't it? And usually if something sounds too good to be true, it is. It's because it is. But here it is not. It is very, very true because it's a promise of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is possible for different reasons. Number one, because our sins are forgiven because Jesus Christ came and took our sins upon himself. And you've known this from little on up, thank God for that, and he covers us with his precious blood, so our sins are covered. And therefore, we're not under the punishment of God anymore. God punished his Son for us, and the Son willingly endured that. They concocted this plan, if that's the right word. They planned it all out back in eternity past. This wasn't something that was dug up on the spur of the moment. It was decided back in eternity, before anything was created, that the Son would become a human being and die on the cross for the forgiveness of the sins of his people. And that his bride would be with him forever in a kingdom of glory, and the Holy Spirit would fill her with his fullness and make her partakers of the divine nature at the big judgment day. That was settled all back in eternity. And every single thing that happens plays right into that theme. It's all working together for our good, every single bit of it. That's why every day can be Thanksgiving Day. In everything, give thanks. Well, you mean when I lose my job? Yeah. You can take that. That can be a blessing, too. Well, what if I have an accident? Well, that's two. Anything that happens. There's nothing that happens by chance in our life. Nothing. It's all under control. There's nothing that happens by chance in the world, as much of a mess as it's in right now, and especially our own country. It can be depressing. But it's all under control. And it's all working for good. The Bible promises that over and over and over again. All things are for your sakes. And the word all there means exactly what it says. Everything. So in order for that to be true, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have to be controlling everything, because if they're not, they can't make these promises. And the Son of God, who has a special relationship with us now because he's our brother, he became a human being, so he's not only the Son of God, he's also a human being. And there is a human being right now that is sitting at the throne of Almighty God, and this human being is Jesus Christ. And before he ascended into heaven, he told us this: all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Well, who gave it to him? The Heavenly Father did. That's who gave it to him. And the devil can't take it away, by the way. So there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are working together for all of these things. And so even if we have a heavy heart, which sometimes we do, we can still give thanks to God for that. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, we also have this. God is talking, and he tells us right up front, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So yeah, there are some times when we carry crosses that we'd rather not carry if we had a choice. We don't volunteer for these things, but we accept them because they come from our Father. And he also promises, you know, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He tells us that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He tells us that he takes and gathers all of our tears in his bottle. Not one of them falls to the ground, and that at the end he's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. He promises us that. It's just a matter of time. So yes, we shed tears, but for us, the tears are liquid prayers. Heavenly Father hears them. He's going to answer them. And we can always look back to this truth that, you know, God's ways are so much higher than our ways. Didn't we learn that sometimes the hard way when we were little children? And our parents would do things and make decisions, and we couldn't figure out why they did that. And if we went the wrong way, sometimes we got grounded, or some of us even got spanked, or they took candy away from us for a week or whatever. I mean, things that we looked at and said, oh, it seems so mean. When we got a little bit older, we looked back on it and realized, you know, they knew what they were doing. Our parents loved us, and they knew what they were doing, and they were doing everything for our own good. And we could see that later on when we got older. We couldn't see it when we're little. Well, we've got the same relationship right now with the Heavenly Father. We're members of His family. He's our Father. Jesus Christ is our brother. Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. He's part of us. And I don't expect to be able to understand everything my Heavenly Father does in my life. Who do I think I am if I can do that? You know, some of the disciples thought they had that all figured out. Christ told them, I'm going to go into Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer and die. And Peter took Jesus aside and said, no, don't do that. That's not the way this is going to be. You don't have to do that. You shouldn't do that. That's what Peter said. He thought he knew more than Jesus Christ did. No, it's God's will. Where would we be right now if Peter had had his way and Jesus Christ had never gone into Jerusalem and had not died on the cross for our sins? Where would we be? So, God knows what He's doing, these precious, precious things. And when you look at something like we're looking at this morning, one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit goes into so much detail on the life of Jacob, as hard as it is to show us how it's all going to end up. And right when Jacob was at his wits' end, and he was desperate, and he said, all these things are against me, that's the very time in his life when he was the closest to being reunited with his son Joseph, Joseph, whom he thought was dead. Joseph wasn't dead at all. And Jacob finally got to see him again. So there are some lessons here. Nature tells us, I believe, at least I've been out in the marsh during the middle of the night and stood out there all night waiting for the sun to come up in the morning. I've done that different times. And it always seemed to me true what they said. It's always darkest just before dawn. And I believe that's true. Well, spiritually, a lot of times it's true also. And in your life and mine, a lot of times it's true. It's always darkest right before we're about to receive a tremendous blessing. And when things are the worst for us, that's when we can start looking for a big blessing. And that makes it exciting. And that's a reason to be thankful, too. So I'd like to let the Holy Spirit end this sermon, which has been kind of a potpourri of thought. And I'd like to have the Holy Spirit end the sermon by looking at the context of the text that we had. And the context would be Isaiah 55. So in thanks to God, let's listen carefully to these precious, precious words. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. In other words, don't live for this world. It's not going to satisfy you. You need eternity, the kingdom of glory of my Son, who's going to be your husband, and you will be his bride. Continuing. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, hold I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. He's talking about David's greater son here, son of David. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Here's a warning. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And then in other places is a promise. He that seeketh shall find it, and he that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. So just keep seeking. It'll get lower. Continuing. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now we get into the text. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I have sent it. And here's how it's all going to end up. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So at that last day, the whole creation is going to give the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit a standing ovation. And then we will approach the marriage altar, prepared by the Holy Spirit as a perfect bride for the Son of God himself. For it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And as his perfect bride, we will live in his kingdom of glory forever. And we can give thanks for that.